Okay, our next presentation, the title is A Soil Moisture Sensor Approach to Scheduling Irrigation in Cotton in Mississippi, and the presenter is Michael Plumley. Michael?
All right, thank you for the introduction. Today I'm going to be talking about irrigating cotton with soil moisture sensors. There's some work that I've done starting on my PhD this summer. I'm starting my PhD at Mississippi State under the direction of Darren Dodds and Dr. Jason Creeps. So cotton has historically been a pretty major commodity in Mississippi. Prior to 2007, we were growing about 405,000 hectares of cotton a year. But after 2007, we started to see a decline in cotton growing area. And it went down to about the average is 171,500 hectares now. Some of the reasons that we think we have seen a decline is because of price, insect and weed pressure, higher commodity prices of alternative crops, crop rotation, and then growers are wanting to be more diversified to help spread the risk across multiple crops in case they have a crop failure or something like that. So often cotton is thought as a drought-tolerant crop, and some of the reasons that people may think this is it's got a large taproot, native to tropical and subtropical regions, and its indeterminate growth habit. But in actuality, cotton actually needs a fair amount of water, up to 0.71 centimeters of water per day. And from the picture on the right of the screen, you can see that really, the water demand for cotton starts to increase about the time it starts to put on squares and reproduction starts, where it peaks at peak bloom, and then it starts to tail off again towards maturity. So talking a little bit more about how we irrigate in Mississippi, about 70% of the Mississippi Delta is irrigated by furrow irrigation, which furrow irrigation out of other methods is the least efficient, being about 50 to 60% efficiency. But we do have a couple of ways that we could increase efficiency with furrow irrigation, with the use of surge valves, computerized hole selection, and then proper scheduling. So a little bit more about the importance of this research was a lot of the talk nowadays is starting to come up about water use restrictions. A lot of the water that's pumped into the Mississippi Delta for irrigation is out of the Mississippi River Valley Aquifer. They're starting to see more people putting flow meters on wells that's into this aquifer, and then some growers are also limited on using about 4.5 million liters per hectare of water a year. In addition to that, if we can schedule our irrigation on a better way, we can save farmers money, especially this is important with low commodity prices. A lot of these growers are using diesel units to pump water. So if we can save application, I mean, that could be tens of thousands of dollars saved. And then lastly, just maximizing the water usage that we're and being good, like using our resources responsibly. So the objective of this research was to determine an optimum irrigation scheduling trigger using soil moisture sensors for cotton that'll maintain an increase in net yield while still using minimal water. So this past year was the first year of the study. It was conducted in Starkville, Mississippi at the R. Full Plant Science Research Center on a Leaper silty clay loam. The test was set up using a factorial arrangement and a randomized complete block. Our plots were four rows wide. Row spacing was about 96.5 centimeters. The length of the plot was 12.2 meters, and it was replicated four times. We planted on May 8th. The variety that we selected was Stoneville 4946. 4946 was a popular variety grown in Mississippi in 2015. It was on about 29% of the acres. We defoliated twice, the first application being September 11th, followed on September 25th, and then we harvested on October 4th. So some of the way that we determined when to irrigate was by use of soil moisture sensors. For this project, we used water marks. We placed soil moisture sensors at depths of 15, 30, 60, and 90 centimeters in depth. We placed all these sensors, four sensors per treatment, and then they were checked Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of every week to determine if we needed to irrigate or not. As far as our treatments went, we split our treatments up into like full season irrigation triggers, and then we also looked at individual growth stages. So with our full season, we had non-irrigated, then we had a trigger at 50 kilopascals, 90, and then 130. And then we split the growing season up into three growth stages, which the first was emergence to first bloom, the second was first bloom to peak bloom, and then the third was peak bloom to first crack bowl. One of the reasons we ended at first crack bowl, the standing recommendation in Mississippi right now to terminate irrigation is first crack bowl, so that's when we what we based our termination off of. And I will note that when we were not within the growth stage, we were using a trigger of 75 kilopascals to water throughout the rest of the season within each of these growth stages. So these pictures are just kind of help you get an idea how we set up our design using furrow irrigation in a randomized complete block. We use 15-inch poly pipe. We would lay it out for each rip, and then we would cut a tail ditch behind it to catch the water from going into the plots that followed that didn't need to be watered. So in this picture, you can see how we're watering. We're watering the three center furrows of the beach four-row plot. Some of the data that we collected was a note above crack bowl on September 2nd. We did defoliation rating on the 22nd of September, which was 11 days after the first defoliation application. And then we also collected a lint yield on October the 4th. The data was analyzed using analysis of variance and proc limits in SAS 9 version 9.4. And the data was subjected to a pairwise t-test to separate the means at the 0.05 significance level. So moving on to some of our results. This table just shows all of our treatments and how many times each treatment actually got triggered for irrigation throughout the season. And I will say that if you notice for the full season at 130 kilopascals, We never irrigated. We never met that trigger. So looking at lint yield, with the y-axis being lint in kilograms per hectare, and then our treatments across the bottom, I'd also like to point out that the green bars is full season, the red bars are the first growth stage, yellow is the second, and blue is the third. And this is the format that most of these tables will be set up for the rest of the presentation. But we had differences in yield, but they were not statistically different. Our yields did range from about 1,900 to 2,200 kilograms per hectare. And even our non-irrigated plots were high yielding. And some of the reason that we might not see any difference this year is we did have a fair amount of rain pretty regularly in Starkville this year. This graph shows the entire growing season for this test, and the red line across the top represents an inch of rain. So you can see we were getting half an inch of rain pretty regularly throughout the growing season. Moving on to note above crack bowl. With this, we really didn't see any differences throughout the growth stages as far as significance, except for the first one where the 90 kilopascal trigger had fewer note above crack bowl than the non-irrigated and the 130. And then again with the full season, the irrigated plots had higher or more nose than the non-irrigated. And the reason that the 130 is lower than the 50 and the 90 would be because, like I previously mentioned, it never even got watered. So it's similar to the non-irrigated. Looking at some visual defoliation ratings, Again, our non-irrigated pool season had the greatest percentage of defoliation, and our 90 kilopascal trigger had the lowest. And we didn't see any effects throughout any of the growth stages, depending on what irrigation trigger we actually used. Looking at desiccation, we didn't see any kind of significant differences depending on what kind of irrigation regime we used. Percent green leaf that was left on the plant, our 90 kilopascal trigger for full season had a higher percentage of green leaf. And then at the end of the year, the last growth stage, again with our 90 kilopascal trigger, we had a higher percentage of green leaf as well. When we looked at our open bowls, if the irrigation regime had any kind of effect on that, really the only kind of differences that we saw was with our non-irrigated plots, we had a higher percentage of open bowls. And then for full season at the 90 kilopascal trigger, we had more bowls that were not open when we rated. So in summary, the yield between treatments was not significantly different. So was this due to the rainfall it received, or was it a varietal response? Was Stonewall 4946 like not responsive to irrigation like some other varieties may be? Irrigation used full season did increase the number of nodes above track bowl. Our more aggressive irrigation triggers late season showed a greater percentage of green leaves after defoliation, and a lower percentage of leaves were defoliated. Conservative irrigation triggers used full season resulted in a lower percentage of desiccated leaves. Bowls opened earlier in full season non-irrigated treatments than the irrigated treatments. As far as our future research, we want to continue this trial again this year. Maybe put in a second location to try and maybe get some drier weather at one of the two. And then compare different varieties with the irrigation triggers, and then maybe look at an early and late maturing variety as well. For my acknowledgments, I'd like to thank both of my co-advisors, Dr. Darren Dodds and Dr. Jason Kreutz, my fellow graduate students, student workers, and the crew at the North Farm. At this time, I'll take any questions.
You mentioned that you had about 4 depths of watermark sensors
yes.
that you were using.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the triggers that you had. Were you triggering off of the highest kilopascal value among those 4, or some?
Okay, so the way that we would determine when to trigger, we would look at it by the percentage of the depth. So if you had 4 watermarks, you had a 6-inch, a 12-inch, a 24, and a 36, you would split it up by how much each makes up of the complete profile. So it would be So you would take the reading off of the 6-inch, let's say it was 50, and you would multiply it by, let's say that was making up 17% of the whole depth. You do the same thing for each one and then add them together, and if that number was above the trigger, then we would irrigate. So any kind of depletion, we would have some depletion there, and the soil type that was at the North Farm is probably about foot deep of like a silty loam, then you kind of hit a clay layer, but my sensors would trigger, but then they would come down too, so it wasn't like the water table was just sitting there constantly. So I think we were moving water deeper into the profile. So.
You make
room for access and I don't know if they're going quite 36 inches deep, but we were seeing sensors move, and that's kind of how we were basing off when we started reading those lower sensors is to when we could start telling a big difference in where our soil moisture sensors were reading. So. All right.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.